Hey everyone, I'm Dr. Terry, and this is the Love Doctor program on Empower Radio, the show that gives you the facts about relationships and love. Now, I've been helping individuals and couples improve their relationships for the past 30 years, and today I'm here to give you science-based strategies for your relationships and those of your children. Welcome, welcome, everyone. It's Dr. Terry. Thanks so much for joining me today. I appreciate you. I have another great program for you today. Now, burnout is all too real in the workplace these days. In fact, recent figures show 28% of workers suffer from burnout, and the numbers go up in high-stress careers. Today, we're going to discuss how office burnout manifests itself, strategies to protect yourself against burnout, and how to deal with burned out bosses and coworkers. My guest today is Vicki Oliver. She is a leading career development expert and best-selling author of 5 books, including Bad Bosses, Crazy Coworkers, and Other Office Idiots. She is a sought-after speaker and seminar presenter, and her career advice has been featured in over 901 media outlets, including the New York Times, Wall Street Journal, New York Post, and Esquire. And for more information on Vicki or her best-selling books, go to VickiOliver.com. And that's Vicki with a Y. Oliver.com. So welcome to the program, Vicki. So nice to have you again with us today.
I'm so happy to be here again. Thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely. It's always wonderful to talk to you about relationships and things going on in the workplace and an office arena. Now, before we get to the topic of burnout, tell us again about your background and what does a career development expert do, Vicki?
Okay. So I live and write in Manhattan about career topics. And I've written 5 books, as you said, and I also run a consulting practice where I talk to professionals about some of the issues that they're facing, whether it be a bad boss or a burned out boss. And so I help people and I try to get to the root of the problem. You know, like my book, for example, Bad Bosses, it just, you know, it's one of these things where you look up the problem, figure out what to do about that person, you know, solve the problem, and then put the book away for another day.
So it's a good guide, a good resource as we're living in our careers then.
Exactly. It's like a thesaurus of the issues that might plague you through the people you know and love at the workplace. So my whole approach is to be very practical, very pragmatic, and just give some tools that people can use so that their work lives go better.
I like that a lot. What motivated you to write that book, Bad Bosses, Crazy Coworkers, and Other Office Idiots?
That's such a great question. So the first book I wrote is called 301 Smart Answers to Tough Interview Questions. And at the end of that book, I gave people my real email address. And I said, you know, I'll give you one free question, right? Read my book. And if I didn't answer every single question you have about job hunting, you can write to me, and I'll give you one free question and answer. And through that, I got in touch with, you know, thousands of professionals all over the United States who told me what was going on with them, and it just led to the research for this book.
Well, so when you told people that they could write you a question, did you get a lot, thousands of questions or hundreds of questions?
I did. Wow. I did. It was really amazing. And, you know, it's so gratifying because sometimes it would be something like, I have an interview tomorrow, you know,
right.
I'm going in for this hotel job and I don't know what to say about X, you know, but sometimes it was more general. You know, it would be about a particular work problem that the person had. So it was fabulous research. I never dreamed that I would, you know, lead to this, but it was fabulous research and I learned so much from it.
That's great. And you really got what people are, you know, experiencing and responsive to in the workplace.
Yeah. It's really fun. I mean, it's just really interesting to learn. Yeah. You know, it's fun for me because here I am in New York and everything, but I heard from people all over the country and and it's just really interesting to me, you know?
Absolutely. So let's then get to burnout, because it sounds like that is a very common experience with people in the workplace. Tell us how you define, you know, burnout, and is it becoming more common these days or what?
I believe burnout is more common today, and I think it's more common because people are working so hard. Like 10, 15 years ago, there were layers and layers and layers within many companies, and so people weren't working the same way they have to now. Like today, there's so much stress. I mean, first of all, people are doing more. You know, you have to be your, even within a large company, you have to be your own secretary, you know, to some extent, your own boss, too. You have to almost be an entrepreneur within your company. You have to wear millions of different hats. And that alone, like having to jump from task to task to task, is very, very, very stressful.
Mm-hmm. That is so true. Plus, you have to be your own IT person too, Vicki, which I find to be so stressful.
Right. And that's actually what I was getting to. You know, on top of having to do all these different jobs that before would be filled with people who would do those jobs, in addition to that, you also have to really stay on top of technology. And technology is moving so fast. You know, the speed of technology, it's racing ahead, and you have to stay on top of it. And it creates a very stressful environment, individually for people, but also for companies. You know, companies are having trouble keeping up with the pace of change. And so if your company is having trouble and you're having trouble, it creates a very, very, very stressful environment, and people burn out fast.
So what is burnout then? How is it different from stress, which we were just talking about? And if I'm a listener, how do I know if I'm experiencing burnout at work?
Okay. So I would say a quick definition would be it is physical and mental exhaustion. You don't want to hear about the project, you know, let alone do it. Right? You've checked out mentally. And I think most people know when they are feeling burned out. I know, for example, when I'm desperate for a vacation, you know, sometimes I've gone on vacation and I don't feel like I need a vacation. And other times I don't even check my email because I just need the mental rest. I think most people can recognize when they are at that point where they just don't want to be at work. It doesn't even matter if it's Monday or Friday, you know,
right?
Checked out mentally.
Mm-hmm. You know, I was just talking to a coworker who went on vacation, Vicki, and he told me that he got sick on vacation and he couldn't understand why he got sick on vacation. And maybe he was experiencing burnout, right? And so then when he went on vacation, his body reacted because he was already exhausted. But yet,
I think that happens all the time. I think it happens all the time. It's true. Like, let's say you have a really big pitch that you're working on at the office, and you're there, and you're working really late, and you're working on weekends, and, you know, your whole body is, like, stressed. And then you go on vacation. You know, of course, you're going to, you know, you have strained your resources, basically. And, of course, you're going to get ill. It's very, very frightening when you feel burned out. And I also think it's very scary if you're working for someone who's burned out.
Right. Exactly. So let's first talk about if you're the person then who's experiencing burnout before we talk about bosses and coworkers and how much that might affect you. So I'm experiencing burnout at work. I know it. I can feel it in my body. As you said, I can feel it psychologically, mentally. How do I protect myself, or what do I do once I experience it?
I think the best thing to do, honestly, is to try to step back and to try to, if you can, go on vacation. I really do. I don't, you know, as a general rule, Americans do not take enough time off.
Right.
So many people, like, don't take their vacations, you know, for various reasons. They don't take their vacations. Take your vacation. You know, so that would be the first thing I would, even if you don't have the money to go away, you know, take a staycation,
right.
Just get out of the office. Don't check your, I mean, another thing is to try to take a vacation from your devices. Mm-hmm. I know people who are starting now to not check their devices over the weekends.
Right.
I think that's a good idea. You know, you need your boundaries. And as great as it is to be connected all the time, one of the, you know, manifestations of burnout is that you feel like you're always on call.
Mm-hmm.
You're always on call. Somebody can reach you any old time they want. You know, they'll text you anything to reach you. And, you know, you feel compelled to always answer. But I know people who turn off their computers and their devices during the weekends. That's a little thing you can do to help.
I like that a lot. So a vacation is possible, time off and doing a stay vacation. And then even in the interim, right, doing something small, like turning off your devices and not feeling like you're on call 24/7. What about self-help strategies for yourself? Like, how important is sleep and eating well and exercising to experiencing burnout?
Well, I'm a huge believer in sleep, actually. And, you know, there are these studies that show if you look at your devices at night, it impacts your sleep.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's certain, you know, evidence that says you really should not check your cell phone, like, after 9 o'clock at night. Let's say you go to sleep at 11 at night, you know. Give yourself the mental break even then. So I'm a huge believer in sleep. You know, I think exercise is great and yoga, if you can get it in, you know, to de-stress. But I think what we're talking about is kind of a mental, you know, everyone's sort of mentally jumping to answer that call, answer the email, answer the call, you know, answer the text, just to be there, you know, 24/7. And I don't think our bodies are like meant to work 24/7, you know.
Right. I don't think so either. And you're right. I mean, U.S. American culture doesn't give workers enough time off, enough days where they aren't working. I know in other countries and cultures, they have many more months off. And maybe then that's because our bodies aren't able to be there 24/7. I like that. I'm going to remember this too, Vicki, because I teach an internship course at the university. And many of these students who are going into self-help careers are going to be experiencing burnout. And my next question to you really was, are there certain careers too, like self-help professions, where this is even more likely to occur, this experience of burnout?
I feel like there are some cultures, you know, corporate cultures where people, you know, might leave at 5 o'clock at night. And I think that, you know, they are less likely to feel burned out in that type of a situation, you know. But there are other offices where people leave at 10 o'clock at night. And I think burnout is, you know, a direct result of how much time you're putting in to your job and how much overtime you're putting in, you know, often without being paid for it, right? I mean, if you're just responding to emails on the weekends and things like that, that's really, really terrible. Another thought I have just for anyone out there who's an entrepreneur, because I'm an entrepreneur, and I work really hard, but I do sometimes employ my own strategy for helping me cope, you know, when I feel stressed out and burned out. Another thing I do sometimes is I might say, I'm not going to look at, I compartmentalize my emails, like emails from certain organizations go to one email address and from other places go to another email address. And so sometimes I might just say, a ban on this, you know, this group of emails, like I'm not going to deal with this group of emails each day. I'm going to group them together and deal with all of them, you know, let's say on a Wednesday, as opposed to every single second of every single day. You know,
I
if you
like
have emails that can wait, that would be my recommendation. I feel like I speed through them faster that way when I group them together.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's different than constantly being interrupted, you know.
Right, right. And then you can't, I mean, if you're writing a book or if you're doing a project, you can't focus on the project or the book or the other thing. So if you can push them over to another folder, another part of your life, like you said, on Wednesdays or every morning from 8 to 9, and that's it. I think that's a wonderful strategy to help us not feel like we need to respond to everything that's going on.
Right. Those are now, if you're working strategies. At a company and if you're working at a company and your boss is constantly texting you, let's say for the sake of argument, you know, I also think that you can subtly train that person to not expect you to respond. Like, in other words, they can text you all they want, but you're not going to respond instantly to every single text. I think you can train people a little bit, you know. So we need boundaries is really what it comes down to, you know.
Right.
And we're just not capable of answering all the texts and messages and emails and phone calls constantly, you know. And it's very interruptive if you're trying to do, you know, certain projects.
Mm-hmm. I agree with you. We need boundaries. That's why I always tell also people who are going to be therapists and social workers and counselors that they need to turn off that part of their life at a certain point of in time of the day, because otherwise, like you're saying, they're going to respond to clients and people all night, all morning. Right? We need boundaries.
Right.
Excellent. Now, you've also written about dealing with burned out bosses and coworkers.
Right.
So how do we deal with that situation or handle that when a boss is experiencing burnout? What should we do?
So first of all, I think if your boss has experienced burnout and you're not feeling burned out, you should look at it as an opportunity. There is going to be a vacuum created. Your boss is feeling burned out and can't deal with the projects, and you are anxious to do the projects. That is actually an opportunity, you know? So you should start looking at it that way. That would be my first piece of advice. Look at it as an opportunity. And then I would say, first, try to just do the best job you can, and then some. Because when you shine, you're going to make your boss look good anyway. So you're both going to benefit from it.
Mm-hmm. So don't focus on the negativity, right? Or that, oh, woe is me because I have a boss who's burned out. And then continue to do the best job that I can is what you're saying.
Yes. It's a great opportunity for you to show that you can handle more responsibility, more projects, that you're eager to leap in. It's really a great opportunity. So you should just try to be as helpful as you can, mm-hmm. take on as much of the burden as you can without burning out yourself.
Right.
That's key.
Good point at the end, without me burning out, right?
Right.
And I know you also say something about seeking out a mentor in the same department or in a different arena to help with a burned out boss. How does that help somebody?
Well, sometimes if the, you know, it depends what, how burned out the boss is. The problem is, like, if your boss is completely checked out, in some ways that's better, because you're just going to have to take more responsibility, you know, and there's nothing the person's going to say to stop you. What the problem is sometimes, like, if you're working for sort of a control freak boss and they're burned out, but they still want to know, like, every single step, do you know what I mean?
Right.
They're not going to help you, but they need to know. They need to know. So that type of personality, you know, can be somewhat problematical. Regardless of if your boss is burned out or a control freak, regardless of who you work for, it's just a great idea to try to find a mentor. The problem is a lot of mentorship programs have vanished in companies. Like, it used to be more normal to have a mentor at a particular company. Now you have to find your own mentor. Now you may be able to do that in your own department. Like, it could be a colleague of yours who's worked there for a long time and who knows the ropes, and you can go to that person. It could be somebody in a different department, maybe, who takes an interest in your career, or it could be in your own department, or it could even be in another company if need be. What does it take to be a mentor? You know, basically the person has to take an interest in your career. And in my opinion, they have to give you excellent advice. Right. So if the person gives you excellent advice, that's a mentor, you know, regardless of whether they work there. You know, I mean, you could have a mentor who's younger than you, you know. You just need to find really a competent person who cares, who really cares and is trying to help you and isn't competing with you. That's what you want. Nice. So if you look at it that way, you know, you can have mentors, many mentors outside your company if you wish. The point is sometimes you have to run strategies by somebody, and the strategies you run by somebody, it's hard to run strategies by a burned out boss, you know, right. It really is. So you're going to have to find somebody else who can help you.
And like you said, I mean, that's just a good suggestion. Even if you don't have a burned out boss, getting a mentor, running strategies by someone, having somebody give you excellent advice, going to multiple people, let's say, is just a really good idea. I mean, mentors have been so important to me in my career. I highly recommend them. Have they been important to you, Vicki?
Yes, I find it's just a really helpful thing to find people who can help you carve a path. I mean, the other problem today in workplaces is there isn't often a clear path from how you get from where you are to the next level. You know, a lot of times there is no training program there, you know, and you don't know, like, how am I going to advance? I don't want to be, you know, this guy's assistant for the rest of my life, right? Mm-hmm. Or whatever. And if you can find a person there who's maybe worked there for 5 years, you know, who was promoted a couple of times, how did they do it? You know, just to pick someone's brain. How did you do this?
Mm-hmm. That's a great idea. I love that. Now, we only have a few minutes left, but let's, you know, change to coworkers. You know, I have a burned out coworker. How do I not let that negativity? There's, you know, they're giving all these negative remarks and I'm hearing them. I'm working close to them. How do I deal with that burned out situation or burned out coworkers?
I think a lot of times the best strategy is to volunteer to help them, because they will probably accept your help, and other people at your company will see that you are helping that person. And then the other strategy I would say is you need to stay positive no matter how negative that person is. You have to stay positive because people have to see that you solve problems. The other person who's griping all the time has become a problem, okay? Mm-hmm. And your task is always to solve problems. And people want them solved. They want to know that they're dealing with a professional person. Not a gossip, not a griper, you know. And so just stay positive. Now, if you help the person, it might improve her mood too. You know, it may not, but it might.
It might, because perhaps it alleviates some responsibility and that 24/7 I'm doing it all kind of philosophy or approach. So it shows you to other people in a very good light, and then it might affect coworkers as well.
Right. And also, people will see that you're the type of person that they want to work with, and that can only help you.
Right. That can only help you. Excellent strategies, examples, scenarios, Vicki. And I like that we're talking about burnout for ourselves as people, but also for our bosses and our coworkers. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me and for having me back. It was a complete pleasure to be here.
It is always great to talk to you, Vicki. And listeners, if you want more information about Vicki Oliver and her best-selling books, including the book called Bad Bosses, Crazy Coworkers, and Other Office Idiots, go to VickiOliver.com. And that's Vicki with a Y, Oliver.com. And as always, thanks for listening. I appreciate you. I'm Dr. Terry, and this is the Love Doctor program on Empower Radio. I'm here to help all your relationships, including the one with yourself, be the best they can be. My personal website is Dr. Terry, thelovedoctor.com, where I provide you with science-based relationship advice that's easy to understand and include in your life. So listeners, until next time, here's to your healthy, happy relationships.